strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rays with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
Thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
We're ready to go out there and hit them every play.
Ron Wolfley.
Red Sea, you got to be feeling it right now.
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
You know what? That's not a rhetorical question out there. When Wolf says, Red Sea, are you feeling it? Let's hear it out there. Are you kidding me?
Kind of like pandering, Bowie.
No, do you want another season of the big man or what?
Oh!
Another season of one of the biggest, baddest D linemen in the NFL? Do you want another season of the Big Red Rage featuring the big man, Calais Campbell? That is the question tonight.
Yes. That would be nice.
Yes, to all the above. I'm just marking E, all the above. Yes, to all the above right there. You know? I mean, come on now.
That'd be best case scenario, that's for sure.
Before we get to seasons in the future, your thoughts on this season? I mean, I have numbers here that back up. It's one of the best seasons of your career. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I felt pretty good about it. You know, I mean, I wish we'd have won a few more games, you know. But, you know, in the end, you just, you know, you have assignment that you have to do, you know. And I feel like I did my assignment, you know, pretty well most of the time. You know, a couple bad plays here and there I wish I could have back. But for the most part, there are a lot less bad plays this year than any year before.
You know, when you look back on this season right here, what is the most disappointing game of the season for you personally? I mean, I know you go out there and, you know, Calais, obviously you laid on the line. You give what you got that day. But in terms of losses that were really, really disappointed, what is the one that kind of sticks out to you? Is there one, Calais? Or is it just the entire season overall?
You know, I really feel like it's a combination. I mean, I think back, you know, the worst losses, and it's usually when – you know, we had a chance to get off the field and get the offense a chance to go win the game. You know, I know against the Rams, that was kind of tough. You know, I think against Atlanta.
You're talking about the first Rams game, University of Phoenix Stadium right there. Yeah, losing that game, going 1-3 after the first month of the season, that was rough. You know what it was for me? It was a Seattle game. I mean, I'd have to say that.
I'd agree.
I think it was the Seattle game. It was brutal.
You guys slugged it out. You outslugged them. I mean, their defense was on the field for 95 snaps. As we found out later, guys like Richard Sherman were taking IVs after the game. I mean, you guys absolutely wore them down on both sides of the ball. And to not have a win for that, even though it wasn't a loss, it obviously felt like a loss. And it would have put you within two games of the division lead. And you know what? That Christmas Eve game would have been meaningful if that game didn't end up in a tie.
Yeah.
It's hard to get over that, too. You know, I mean, as we're vetting our way, processing through this season, right, and the disappointment of this season. But if you would have said that, Calais, right, if somebody would have told you before the season started that, you know, you were not going to lose to the Seattle Seahawks in 2016, what would we be talking about right now, right?
You'd
be
the playoffs for sure. You
exactly.
Know.
I mean, are we the number one seed or the two seed? If somebody would have said you were not going to lose to the Seattle Seahawks in 2016, man, you would have thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be a Super Bowl caliber year. It's funny the way that it just did not happen, though.
And the thing that really kind of makes it tough is because we really started gelling there. You know, we let loose and we were having fun those last 2 weeks. Man, I think if we were to somehow get in, I think we would be a tough team to beat. You know, I don't think anybody would want to see us, even now, right now, after all the things that happened all year, the way we played the last two games. I feel like that was kind of the best ball we should have been playing the whole year, you know. But in the end, you know, you have to be able to win in September and October because those games will make a huge difference in December.
Do you believe that's going to carry over? Do you believe there's any carryover?
I do. I do. I know, you know, me personally, I feel like, you know, this team is close. You know, I feel like, you know, if you could bring back, you know, most of the guys that were on the team, you know, this past season, I think that, you know, I feel like we will be in a great position going forward next year to have a chance to win it.
You know, what's amazing is both at his press conference and with Wolf on his weekly TV show, Flight Plan, BA went all the way back to week one. The question was, what was most disappointing? What was the turning point? What was most instrumental? And he went back to week one. You beat the Patriots, you get that game-winning field goal, if nothing else. And then he said it just boosts confidence, and that carries through the rest of the year.
Yeah, for everybody who plays sports, they know momentum is a huge part of the game. And when you win a game, a tough, hard game, you know, it gives you momentum going forward, you know, that you can carry over for weeks. You know, when you lose that game, I mean, you kind of get stuck in mud, and you're fighting to get out of it, but, you know, you just like to move as fast.
Think about it. This team finished top 10 in both total offense and total in defense. Went 4-1-1 in the division. 6-0 on the road in the division the last 2 years. I mean, they were 7th in point differential this year, plus 56, the Arizona Cardinals. You went from 20th in sacks as a team to number one in
the
NFL.
Come on.
That was the biggest offseason objective. Think about all that. We'll get into that as to exactly what didn't happen. And let's hope this isn't our Say It Ain't So edition of the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, presented by Santan Ford at Marlins Chandler Fashion Center.
There's an injured Cardinal on the play, and it's David Johnson who's shaken up.
Great news on David Johnson. No surgery. There's no damage. He just got MCL sprain. Very similar to Tony Jefferson, 6 to 8 weeks, just rest and rehab, but no surgery. So that's great news.
You got several Cardinals on one knee surrounding David Johnson.
This is not a good look here.
No.
Oh, man.
Just the first, you know, the initial contact and initial hit, it was painful. But, you know, once I, you know, laid there for a little bit, gathered myself, it felt a lot better.
They ran to the left. Johnson planted. Got tackled. Oh, and Eugene Sims, you could see it there. Oh, man.
I did see the replay, and, you know, after seeing that video with everything that happened, I'm definitely, you know, blessed with the result.
Eugene Sims landed on Johnson's left leg and bent it, and Johnson's body was going one way. The left leg was going another.
A lot of relief. A tremendous amount of relief to know that, yeah, there's nothing damaged, nothing, no significant injury. And I was very, very proud that, you know, my knee is strong enough and those ligaments are strong enough that it prevented me from having the serious thing.
Hashtag no surgery.
No way.
Just leave it at that right there. MCL sprain akin to what Tony Jefferson suffered, so they're thinking 6 to 8 weeks. And after we were thinking the worst, were you not?
Oh,
in
yeah.
LA, when he went down, after, especially after we saw the replay, oh man.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody on the sideline, you know, said a prayer real quick, you know, and just wishing that it was, you know, or praying that it wasn't as serious as it looked. You know, and I mean, I think really, that was God answered my prayers right there, because, when he walked off, everybody just assumed it was ACL, you know, or something more serious. And then even, you know, some of the guys, the way they were testing his ACL, you're like, oh, it has to be the ACL because they keep, you know, testing it, you know. But then, you know, he come going to halftime, and, you know, he comes out and he's like, oh, no, I'm good. You know, like, this guy's Superman, you know.
Calais, man, I kid you not. It first of all, it adds to the level of freakage that is going on with David Johnson, right?
Sure.
That you could sustain an injury that bad. Watching that on film, I was convinced it was an ACL. I have never seen anybody contort their leg the way that happened and not have some type of ligament damage to their ACL. The fact that it did not happen just adds to the legend of David Johnson
and
his freakage.
I mean, I get to see him work. You know, I mean, you guys just get to see the success, but I get to see him work. You know, and that guy, there's nobody that works harder than him. You know, and he spends a lot of time with our strength coaches and making sure that he works all the small muscles and everything around his whole body. I mean, he spends more time in the weight room than anybody I've ever met in my life.
Man.
Well, actually, Clark Hagans was probably up there.
Okay, Clark Hagans. Yeah, Clark. But there was something wrong with Clark. And I say that lovingly. play.
Oh, yeah.
This is true. But David Johnson, I mean, he's one of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life. And I think that's a testament to his work ethic, you know, because, you know, he was able to, you know, those muscles were able to hold together because he works them so much and he prepares the right way. And our strength coaches do it the right way, too. They work, you know, a lot of the small muscles. I mean, it's like a new era of working out. You know, they just prohibitive from trying to get you from different injuries and different movements. I mean, we do a lot of preventative, you know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say.
Preventative. Yep.
We do a lot of preventative workouts to try to keep our body together
yes.
when we're in the heat of the moment. So, Justin, take your hat off to Coach Buddy Morris.
Well, and he said only half jokingly on Monday when he was talking to the meeting, we heard most of it right there, that he's going to add yoga to his off-season regimen just to make sure he's all that much more flexible and pliable.
David Johnson,
he's going to add some yoga in the off-season. I mean, you know, look.
You're not saying Buddy's going to do that, though, right? Buddy Morris. It's not going to be a mandatory yoga thing.
Okay. No, David.
All right, Buddy.
But I will say this. In my dozen years of doing the sideline, I've never had as many players come up to me during the TV timeout and say, hey, do you have any more info on David? I mean, guys were genuinely concerned because he went in. You didn't see him again until halftime, right? Even when he came out on the sideline, you guys were able to talk to him. I wasn't. And I see him smiling. I'm thinking, well, that's great. Except David's smiling all the time. So I wasn't sure how to take that exactly. You know what I mean? But when he looks back at his season, I mean, oh, my goodness. A legendary, epic season, a record-setting season for the Cardinals in franchise history. In fact, here's David Johnson on the campaign he just turned in.
I feel like I've grown a lot, even from each game by game and play by play. I feel like I was growing and, you know, learning and getting better, getting more comfortable with, you know, all offense and the NFL. Obviously, there was ups and downs, especially with me. You know, mental errors killed me in some of the games. I probably would have had 1,000 yards receiving if not some of those routes early on in the season that I messed up on.
And he's held himself accountable early in the year.
Good.
You know? And there's no doubt, and B.A. cited it in September, you know, that he left a lot of yards out on that field for everything he did, and he led the NFL in yards from scrimmage, and he led the NFL with 20 total touchdowns. To me, here was the stat, guys. You can agree or disagree, but entering the Rams game in Week 17, since making his first start in Week 13 of last year, David Johnson had more than 2,700 yards from scrimmage. No other NFL player had more than 2,000.
That's the one.
In that span.
That's the one.
Does that not illustrate his dominance?
You got to be kidding me. I'm talking about plus 800 or close to being plus 800 against the field over the same course of time. And just an incredible number to me.
Any doubt, if not for the injury against the Rams, that we would be talking about the third running back ever with 1,000 yards rushing and receiving in the same game?
Oh, if he could stay healthy, I have no doubt in my mind he'd hit both those milestones of being 16 games in a row of 100 yards from scrimmage and then 1,000. You know, I mean, he is very special. And, you know, if he could stay healthy throughout his career, he'll be a Hall of Famer in my book. I shed it quite a bit, you know, but I'm not backing down because I see it. I see his work ethic. And, I mean, there's just certain guys who can play football. They were born to play football. And David Johnson is one of those guys.
You know what I loved? I love the fact that Rams actually got down on a knee. You see the Ram players?
That's respect.
Getting down on a knee? We're talking about a second-year player in the National Football League. A second-year player. And the Rams got down on a knee. A lot of them. I was really moved by that, I got to tell you. The respect that they have for David Johnson at that point.
When B.A. walked all the way across the field, I figured it wasn't good just because he doesn't often do that. He doesn't go out there for every little knick-knack injury, that kind of thing, you know. In fact, somebody asked him about the upside in David Johnson, and Wolfie said it to you on Flight Plan as well. He said, well, 200 yards a game. And we all sort of laughed, this uneasy laugh, like, oh, he's not joking.
Yeah.
he fully thinks that is feasible, that he could average 200 yards a game between the rushing and the receiving.
Why not?
I mean, it's year number two. We'll see. Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Shotgun snap. Goff is going to get hit at the 20 and sacked by Golden. Golden got to him. Golden already in double figures in sacks. Goff back to pass on third and long. Instead, he is sacked by Marcus Golden.
The junkyard dog. Got a treat.
Goff and shotgun has the football. Seven-step drop. Has time. Steps up and gets hit and sacked. Marcus Golden, another sack. You ended up with 2.5 sacks. Okay, you guys ready for this? This might take a moment when I recap the game turned in by Marcus Golden as part of the Beat LA beatdown, 44-6. He had 2.5 sacks. He had 3 tackles for loss. He had 2 quarterback hits. He had a pass defensed and a forced fumble. And he had 4 tackles thrown in there as well. Marcus Golden and that Cardinals defense held the Rams, wait for it, to 122 total yards in that game. A big win by the Cardinals to end the season. It is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. And what'd you like the most about the defensive performance in that game?
Man, we were out there, we were having fun, you know, and I got a bone to pick with Marcus because every time I win my rush and I'm getting ready to make a play, he just comes through and he gets it before I get there. You know, I mean.
And you're usually, you know, busting through a double team as well.
Oh, well, you know, that happens too. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, you know, it's just a sign of respect. You don't get too mad at that. You just got to find a way to win those ones too. But, you know, Marcus, I mean, he had a little John Abraham there because John Abraham used to do that to me too. I become scot-free and John Abraham would come through and get them right before I get those guys. It's a little bit faster than me, you know.
Number one in sacks in the National Football League. And, you know, yeah, it's amazing when you think of last year. Number one in sacks in the NFL. And you know what? We didn't blitz nearly as often as we did in 2015, correct?
We didn't need to.
Didn't need to, right? That was part of the transformation of this defense. And I know there were a lot of people that some people were up in arms over it, right? The fact that why aren't we blitzing more? Why aren't we doing this? But there was a transformation that James Betcher actually oversaw on this defense, saying, no, you know what? We want to be a defense that can be anything we need to be in order to beat you.
Yeah.
If that means we got a blitz to do it, then that's what we're going to do. If that means your quarterback is impacted by the blitz, we're going to go after you. If not, we're just going to rush four if we think we have a better chance of you turning the ball over. I love the fact that James Betcher oversaw this transformation.
Yeah, I believe we were, you know, we were able to do everything. So we were blitz at times, and our blitzes, you know, hit home. I think Kevin Mentor had like 5 sacks or something close to it. You know, DJ, Tony Jefferson, they all had, you know, got in there and made a couple sacks from our blitzes. But then,
people didn't expect it nearly as much because we didn't do it as much.
And that's the ideal situation when you can blitz, you know, and it's sporadic, you know, and they don't know when it's coming. They can't prepare for it. You know, I mean, you know, because teams, what they would do to us, they put us in, you know, they make us shake out our blitzes and play, you know, special, which, you know, is just a coverage that, you know, we don't like playing as much. I mean, it works pretty
well. No doubt.
But then what we did is we just added to that level because we knew what teams were trying to do to us. We adjusted. And you have to take it out to James Betcher because he called a great game plan all year and put us in position to make plays. And, you know, I mean, those guys on the outside, I mean, you don't have to blitz too much when you have Marcus Golden and Chandler Jones coming off of each edge, man. Those guys are special. I love playing with them.
Well, you had 6 sacks as a team in Seattle. You had 7 sacks of Jared Goff. That was a season high the Rams had given up there. In fact, after the game, did you hear the quote from Todd Gurley? He said about Jared Goff, quote, "He probably got hit more than me, actually." End quote. You don't hear that. And you know what? You know what? He's probably right. Jared Goff probably did get hit more than Todd Gurley in that game. I mean, man, you guys, if it wasn't a sack, you were getting the quarterback hit. I mean, he was getting thrown down. There's no doubt it wore him down. The Rams went 3 and out on 5 of 11 possessions, right? And picked up just 5 first downs before Sean Mannion finally came in and replaced him. So, I mean, they had zero success in that one. And, I mean, be honest. You get a rookie quarterback in there, that's advantage defense. You need to take advantage of that situation, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, you really do. But, I mean, they've had some injuries on the O-line and they're moving some guys around and trying to get some people in place. And I think we have some favorable matchups, too. And then you have a rookie quarterback who usually is going to hold the ball longer because he doesn't see it as quick. You know, that's just, you know, the nature of the business. So you love playing against with the quarterbacks, you know, but, you know, I think the kid has potential still. You know, I'm excited, you know, to be able to play against him again, hopefully, you know, fingers crossed for that one.
So what was it, Bully? 23 sacks on the edge when you take Marcus Golden and Chandler Jones and you put the two totals together,
that's
right?
Correct, yep, 12.5, 10.5.
Okay,
yep.
There you go, 23 on the edge right there. How much did that impact you, Calais, as an interior pass rusher? Did you notice a difference in protections and notice a lot more teams spending time actually worrying about the edge and helping you actually get freed up in the middle. Did you notice any difference on that?
You know, so we have this thing where we call it a tough, where, yeah, you know, the outside linebacker or the DN will hit the tight end or somebody outside of them just to slow them down before they rush. And then after a while, they'll put, you know, because we started winning our rushes, they start putting, you know, tight ends and running backs out there to chip on the outside guys. So they didn't even have to do tough some more because, they were taking themselves out the game trying to slow down the routes just to slow those guys down. So it kind of worked itself out. I mean, because you think about it in a blitz mentality, you want to slow the guys down before you make a rush, you know, on our zone coverages. But when you can have guys off the edge just being able to wreak havoc like those guys do, then you have to put those guys out there, the tight ends, and slow their routes down because they're trying to slow down our pass rush.
See, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, even though you're very obviously a very good pass rusher, interior pass rusher, and you carry a lot of clout when you walk onto a football field, when you run that TE, when you're the post coming up the field, and you've got Chandler Jones coming underneath you, that attracts an awful lot of attention, does it not?
It does.
From an opposing offensive line and a protection scheme.
It does, you know.
And that helps you ultimately, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, I like to get up the field a lot. You know, that's one of my favorite pass rush moves. Just get up the field, you know, just dip and rip and, you know, you get your hands in there. But it's the same thing in the TE stunt, you know. So sometimes those guards have to respect the fact that Chandler might come under. So it gives them, you know, they might hesitate for a second, which allows me to get the edge a little quicker.
They're
so
looking for it.
Yeah, you have to, because we do it a lot, you know, because we know you have to respect it. If you don't, we're going to kill you with it, you know. And so,
you did just that a couple of times.
Well, think about it. You know, the question now, the big red question becomes, can you keep this trio together, this pass rushing trio of Marcus Golden and Chandler Jones and Calais Campbell? Two of the three are going to be free agents, more than 20 free agents. In fact, here's BA on that topic.
We'll just wait and see. Hopefully we get them all back. You know, the dollars have to add up with the cap, and that's Steve and Mike's job, and they didn't do a great job with it. So we've already prioritized our list, and we'll try to get as many of those guys back as possible.
And he went on to say more than once on Monday that, quote, Chandler's not going anywhere because if we have to, we will franchise tag him.
Priority number one.
You know, and that's not surprising to you.
Not at all.
No.
I suspected. It should be. You know, he's earned that right.
In fact, he said it more than once, though, and at least one of them was unprompted. I think he's talking to Chandler's agent as well. That's just me. That's just me. You know, the negotiations are on, and sometimes it happens in the press.
You know, some of those times they franchise tag you just to give more time to negotiate, you know, one-on-one without the interference. I mean, and when I was coming up after my fourth year, I was going to free agency. They tagged me, but it was really just to get more time to negotiate. And then we worked out a deal right before the deadline. And, you know, I hope that Chandler, because, you know, anytime you can work out a deal, you know, the cap number is a lot lower. You know, if you get franchise tagged, the cap number is sky high. So, you know, I'm sure they want to work out a deal and make something happen there.
Well, you led the defensive line in both tackles and sacks.
Mm.
And if you want to go through the numbers, here we go. 63 tackles this year for Calais Campbell. He had 8 sacks. He had 18 tackles for loss. He had 2 forced fumbles. He had 3 fumble returns, 1 for a touchdown. Hello. He led the Cardinals in quarterback pressures with 26. In quarterback hits, he was number 1 with 27. You even had 7 passes defensed, which puts you number 3. I mean, you topped some defensive backs in PBUs. You were 1 behind Patrick Peterson in that category, which I found astounding right there.
Incredible.
And you are now number 2 on the all-time franchise sacks list with 56.5 in your career. Those are the sort of numbers the Cardinals have to crunch in the offseason.
Yeah.
And that's going straight to the office of Steve Keim, and they're going to see how they might make that work.
That's
it is the big
red
with Calais Campbell, presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Goal on the 5. 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Shotgun snap. Palmer in the pocket. Throws right. Caught. Fitzgerald. Touchdown. And the Cardinal fans who've come out to support their team here in L.A. celebrate as Larry Fitzgerald gets into the end zone. And you could hear the Cardinal fans chant, Larry, Larry.
Yeah, they were chanting before the play, before they even checked him back into the game. And then they were really chanting after he caught the touchdown at the very end.
Yeah, that was kind of like, it was like almost like it was written in a movie. Because, I mean, you hear the crowd chanting, Larry, Larry. And then next thing you know, he just catches the ball, you know, and he runs over and gives it to the fans that were chanting his name, too. I mean, how cool is that, man? Larry's, he's a legend, man.
You know, the fact that it was all Cardinals fans on the rail as well, because at that point it was so lopsided, and then all the Rams fans that were there, they just bolted, and the Cardinals fans who made the trip, and there were a lot of them. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds of guys. They just came all the way down, they're behind the bench, and I mean, it sort of felt like a home game at that point. You know, you guys got that. Yeah. But that locker room, though, and that whole L.A. Coliseum experience, that was like a throwback to your college days, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. That locker room was small.
It was miniature. It was like big guys like you. It was like you were in like a child's bedroom. I mean, everything was like miniature in there. It was hilarious. So welcome back into the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell presented by Santan Ford, and we're streaming live on azcardinals.com/live video as well.
Really interesting about that play as well, guys. I want to get your take on this, Calais, because there is a rumor that is out there that the Rams let Larry Fitzgerald walk in on that touchdown.
Oh, no, I'm not buying that.
Did you seriously? So, you know, to me, I was just wondering if you heard that after the game.
No, I'm not buying that. We're competitive people. I'm never going to let a guy score. I mean, you think about, Brett Favre letting Michael Strahan get that 20 seconds.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
I mean, I get that, okay?
Right.
I get that one. But, like, you know, competitive game, you know, I mean, you're not going to let a guy score on you like that.
Even so you're not buying that at all.
I'm not buying it at all.
Okay.
Well, what are we buying when it comes to Larry and his future? I'm not sure what to think exactly. You know, he got his 107th catch, not just a touchdown. That was for the NFL receptions lead. So that means 11 years apart. He has led the NFL in receptions. Think about that, 2005, 2016. He did keep the football. He came off the field. Now, look, that's far from the first time he's kept a football. He did it a few weeks ago when he passed Chris Carter and Marvin Harrison, end up number 3 all-time in receptions. So, I mean, he has kept souvenir footballs. But, you know, as long as Wolf's throwing around rumors out there, a lot of people thought he kept the football coming off the field because, you know, that was maybe his last catch ever in his NFL career. Here's what Larry had to say before the game. Meeting the media, our last chance to really ask him questions about his future, and here's what Fitz had to say.
I would say probably like around February 1st, my body starts to kind of like get back to normal again. Like I wake up in the morning and I'm not like just like, man, I feel like crap. You know, once that wears off, you know, you kind of have a better determination feeling of, you know, what you want to do at that point. So I think the best thing is not to make any, you know, hasty decisions, and, you know, that's kind of the process I'm going to take.
I found it interesting on Flight Plan, Wolf, and everyone could see it and hear it for themselves Saturday on 12 News after Saturday Night Live, Ron Wolfley and Bruce Arians and that weekly TV show, that B.A. said, to paraphrase, you know, Larry's got to make the decision if he still has it in him to mentally prepare to be that warrior again next season. You know, physically he can still do it, but that's not the decision, apparently.
It's a grind. It really is. And, if he was to retire, I would not be surprised. I really hope he doesn't, you know, because it's an honor to play with him. And every year is a true blessing. So I hope I get to experience it again. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I think he is coming back. I mean, that's just me. I think Larry Fitzgerald will come back and play. That's just my belief. But I will tell you right now, I also think there's just something to it for Larry. The allure possibly is the fact that he did lead the league in receptions. And is there a better way to actually exit by when you're still exactly with a ring? You're right about that, with a ring. But I think that also is part of the challenge for Fitz.
Well, and B.A. even mentioned with you, Wolf, about Carson, and they're not exactly certain. That's going to be a decision. So maybe Larry's waiting to see on all fronts.
Those are intertwined. I would believe those are intertwined.
Yeah, see, you know what that makes? That makes an awful lot of sense to me right there.
Gives me pause for thought on that one. Because I think there's a presumption that Carson is coming back for sure. But that not necessarily the case.
There's a bunch of rumors out there, right?
Yeah. I hope both of them come back, but I can understand if they don't. You know what I mean? It's a tough game, and it really is tough on your body, and it's a mental grind. So, but those guys are two warriors, you know, guys that I have a lot of respect for, and, you know, they really make the game a lot easier. You know, you really believe you have a true chance to win with them on the field.
As long as we're talking about the sensational and the salacious, and Wolf sort of took us there with some of these rumors, you know, these unfounded rumors. From
actually,
the
PA did,
I see.
To tell you the truth.
Hey, what about the halftime? I mean, the TV reporter for Fox reported that, in her words, there was a melee, a dozen guys on each side of the field, and you guys are making your way into your locker rooms, and guys got into it, and then everyone's separating players and all that. I mean, so What exactly went down at halftime?
It wasn't that bad. You know, I mean, it is kind of weird two teams walking in at the same time, you know, when your emotions are flying high, you know, but it was just a couple things said, nothing crazy, you know. The leaders wouldn't let anything happen, you know. It's just, you know, it's halftime. You want to go back out there and continue to compete. When you're playing this game, you play it at a high level, and, you know, when those things happen, sometimes they can cancel games and all that crazy stuff, and we don't want that to happen. So, you know, the leaders broke it up, but it wasn't anything serious at all. It was something small.
You know, it was one of the worst things ever. You talk about the Raiders and what the Raiders used to do at the L.A. Coliseum. We used to line up the Raiderettes all the way down that tunnel, line them up on both sides. I kid you not. And they'd bring you out. They'd bring the opposing team out, right? Glaze, it is unbelievable, right? They pen you up, waiting to introduce you to go out there, and the Raiderettes are lined up on both sides, and they just sit there and catcall you the whole time, right?
Oh, that's funny.
Trying to totally distract you from what you're about to do. I used to go and tell all the rookies, don't look at them! Don't look at them! Screaming
which
is, like a
which
savage.
Makes them look at them, of course.
Exactly. Yeah. Who are you talking about?
Right. Yeah, there you go. By the way, since Wolf left us with no good segue coming out of this here on the Big Red Rage, how about a birthday shout-out to Joe, the longtime Big Red Rager over to our right, and then your sister as well.
Yeah, happy 40th birthday to my sister Keon, you know.
Yeah, Keon.
Very nice. We continue the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Snap to Favre. Short setup. Favre going to get sacked. He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line. Calais Campbell has been a monster.
All night long, they can't block Calais Campbell.
Vic under center. Takes the snap. Short set. Looking middle. Firing. Picked off by Campbell, who jumped up into the air. Cardinals have the ball as Campbell intercepts it.
That was an incredible catch by the tree, Calais Campbell. Put the limbs up and snagged the apple.
First career interception. It was a great play. Snap to Manning. Pump it to Sanders. Throw a screen to the left. It's picked off by Campbell at the 25. He's at the 20, at the 15, at the 10, at the 5, and tackled there.
Trying to throw the screen to Monte Ball, and Calais Campbell read that play. That is an all-pro play by an all-pro player.
And it sets up maybe the best play of your career, which we'll save for last. We'll save the best for last, the Peyton Manning tackle there right after the pick, all right, and how you avenged it this year.
You know, I still say Peyton Manning could have been an all-pro middle linebacker. I believe it with all my heart.
Some big plays there in the career of the big man himself on the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Welcome back in, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, streaming live on azcardinals.com/live video. So, I mean, those are some big names in there. How about that? I mean, Brett Favre sack circa 2009, the interception of Michael Vick 2012, and then Peyton Manning 2014. I mean, when you think back of your 9 years, do you think of some of those big names, some of those Hall of Fame guys that you played well against?
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while. It's kind of interesting when you're playing those. I can remember the Zach moment, which is kind of crazy. Just, I mean, I didn't know I could, but I remember the play, how it broke down and, you know, just feeling, you know, that zero in when you're locked in that and you're in the zone. You know, I can remember, like, just all the tunnel vision I had along the plays. It's pretty cool.
What's the best quarterback sack you've ever had? I mean, if you had to pick one sack.
Oh, that Brett Favre is still my favorite.
The Brett Favre.
It's still my favorite. Because the reason why I love that sack so much is because I went and told Coach, call this play, it's going to work.
No, and you didn't.
I told him, and it was Coach Billy Davis at the time. I told him, call this play, it's going to work. He ended up calling it, and then I got the sack. And I went over to him and said, I told you, you know, that was sweet, man. It felt pretty good.
How about when quarterbacks talking? I mean, have you had do quarterbacks talk trash? I know you get into it with offensive linemen here and there, like, but I mean, you know, I view Favre as a guy who would talk. I mean, are there any guys that you've gone against over the years where, you know, they've sort of taunted you guys or sort of anything like that?
You know, actually, that play, Brett Favre was trying to talk some trash to me afterwards because I slammed it pretty hard. I actually got fined. I didn't get flagged, but I got fined for it afterwards because it was unnecessary roughness. But he got up and tried to get in my face. But I was just floating on cloud nine because I just sacked Brett Favre, future Hall of Famer.
Right.
I mean, that was huge.
Well, think about this. I know this was something we talked about early in the season of the Big Red Rage. But you got 7 sacks or more for the 5th time in your career, and you join Freddie Joe Nunn as the only players in franchise history with 7 or more sacks in at least 5 different seasons. Think about that. And, you know, the state of your game right now and what you take into free agency, as it's all about you, presented by Santan Ford. And then, in addition to going into the archives, our Jim Omohundro crunched some numbers on you and the Big Red Rage. And we'll get to those in a moment. Let's flash back to when we first learned. We first announced on the show 2013 in training camp. It was actually myself and Darren Urban, and we were with Calais. And, you know, what it meant to you to be named the official host of the Big Red Rage. Roll it.
Serving as host now this season for the Big Red Rage. Man, it's got to rank right up there. Come on, Calais.
It's a big deal, tell you the truth. You know, over the years, seeing Bertram Berry do it, Adrian Wilson, and Kerry Rose, I mean, I feel like, you know, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, so I'm glad to finally be the host.
I mean, we need 2 hands to count how many times you've been the featured guest, right? We do. I mean, you've been on a number of times, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You kind of like being up on the stage. You like that part of life. I mean, is that something you want to explore even more?
Yes, sir. You know, I love just entertaining. I mean, that's what football is. It's entertaining. So it's part of what I do. It's who I am. Yeah, lights, camera, action, baby. I'm action.
There you go. It's all about you, presented by Santan Ford. So here's the numbers. 86 shows as host of the Big Red Rage.
Whoa.
You appeared on a half dozen shows as a guest. That's 92 shows overall. You crunch the numbers. That's 27% of all the Big Red Rage shows have featured Calais Campbell.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
That's a cool honor to have, man. I'm glad I was able to be a host for the last 4 years. It's been an unbelievable experience. I really learned a lot, so I appreciate you guys.
Boy, that means you were a good player for a long, long time.
And I know our conversation will keep it between us. If we need to move Wolf out next year to make sure to ensure you come back, then we're willing to make that happen. I'll go to GM Steve Keim. All right, now look, let's go all the way back to 2008, your rookie year. I'm told this is money stuff right here. You were wired up. You're wearing a microphone as a rookie. Let's take a listen to that.
10 to the 15 to the 20, and then gets just drilled by Calais Campbell.
Wow.
Game day for me is amazing, just going out there and showcasing all the hard work I'm putting in all week, get hyped up, scream, yell, you know, whatever it takes for me to go out there and get myself ready to make plays.
Yeah!
The speed of the game was definitely different, but as I got a couple of games with my belt, you know, it started to slow down for me and starting to become, you know, just a typical speed I'm used to.
Calais Campbell continues to impress.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
I was always taught, you know, you got to run to the ball every play. You know, every time I'm on the field, I give him my all. You've been wired in to Calais Campbell.
Wow.
That's beautiful, man.
You guys taking me down memory lane, huh?
The sound of brutality.
Oh, man.
That's beautiful.
I think all those roars permanently changed your voice.
This is true. Football.
That doesn't even sound like you here in 2016. I mean, you know.
Hey, it happens, Paul.
Man, that's remarkable stuff right there. There's no doubt about that. How much stuff have you saved in your Cardinals career? Are you a guy? Do you have memorabilia, souvenirs? Have we asked you that before? How much stuff do you have?
You know, I want to build a whole room in a, I guess, a, you know, just like a, I guess a museum type thing one day of my career. So I have a lot of stuff saved, just waiting to go up whenever I buy a house. So, you know, it's going to be kind of cool. I'm looking forward to that.
How are you going to treat these next, 2 months, I guess, until, you know, the league year begins and all that? I mean, are these 2 months going to feel like 2 years as you wait to learn about your future? How are you going to treat this?
You know, I really don't know. I mean, the last time I went through this experience, it was a completely different situation, you know, and so I don't know. It's my first time really going through it this way. So, I'm just going to get back and try to enjoy it, embrace the moment, and wait to see what happens.
You're going to get away, get some mental health, maybe a little vacation of some sort?
Oh, that's a must always. You know, that's part of the game, too. You know, after the season ends, you have to get away for a while, you know, enjoy yourself, and then come back and start grinding again.
What do you do when you enjoy yourself? Like, I mean, what is it? What's the downtime for you? What do you like to do in order to go out there and say, I'm going to be on vacation and I'm going to enjoy this? And what are you going to do? What does that entail?
Beaches, water.
Beaches, water.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I watch a lot of, I catch up on my TV shows and movies and stuff. That's
surfing?
I've surfed before. You know, I might do that again.
Where do they get a board long enough for you, right?
Ed redefines longboard. I mean, you need like a 12-footer or something.
Hey, it's 2016. You can get anything made or anything done.
You know? You got that right.
That's 2017. Wow.
Yeah. So it's water for you. It's beaches. It's totally chilling. That's the route you like to take.
That's my style. You know, low-key, hang out, just have some fun.
You don't go like Larry down to Antarctica or, you know, go do some bungee jumping off some mile-high bridge or anything.
I will not be bungee jumping. I promise you that.
Okay. All right. Hey, by the way, guests on the show receive a gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals, available at Osborne Jewelers in Goodyear, David Jewelers in Cave Creek, Diamond Gyms in Phoenix and Sun City, and Arizona Watch and Jewelry in Tucson. Guess what? We'll be giving out a pair of watches to two lucky members of the audience tonight. We're also going to have a bunch of other items, like a football signed by every guest of the show all season long, and two pairs of cleats worn by Calais and more. What size would those cleats be there?
Size 16, baby.
Size 16. So there you go. Almost as long as a longboard. All right, so those will be up there. It is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, presented by Santan Ford and Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Don't forget, we're streaming live on azcardinals.com/live video. Down the stretch we come on the Big Red Rage right after this. Play for Breeze in trouble, fumbles the ball, and it's caught out of the air by Campbell, and he's running free at the 30, at the 20. He'll take it all the way and into the end zone for the Cardinal touchdown. It might be Calais Campbell's final home game, and if that's the case, what a way to go out. A fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Have you ever seen a tree run? Like one of J.R.R. Tolkien's Ents attacking Isengard, Calais Campbell caught the ball out of the air and took it to the house.
You enjoyed it, and Wolf was a close second. The 53-yard fumble return for a touchdown against the New Orleans Saints. You know what? You're going to take us back through it. Go ahead. Take us through that. We heard the play-by-play call. You take us through it since you were at the epicenter of it.
You know, so Chandler called an exit, which is an ET game, where he comes first and he hits the guard. I set him up and I wrap around. And, you know, I wasn't sure because he kind of called it quick, and I didn't know if I heard him correctly. So I was like, oh, you know, I tried to get off the line quick, but then I saw him coming in. So I adjusted and just enough so I can get around. And I'm stumbling, and I see just Junkyard. He hit the guy he hit Drew Brees pretty hard, and the ball just popped up. And I'm like, oh, here's my moment, you know. And that was one of my few goals, is I wanted to score a touchdown. I never scored a touchdown in my whole NFL career. So that was the goal I had going into the season, you know, to score a touchdown. So I got the ball in my hands, you know. I knew I was taking it all the way. You know, Tim Hightower tried to come in and spoil the moment, but I wasn't going to let that happen. I was going to make sure I handled that business.
I've got to ask you this. Paulie, read off some of those numbers of Calais Campbell in the year that Calais Campbell has had here, right? Go ahead and read that off.
63 tackles, 8 sacks, 18 tackles for loss.
Oh, man.
2 forced fumbles, the 3 fumble returns, 1 for a touchdown right there. He led the Cardinals with 26 QB pressures. He led the Cardinals with 27 QB hits, and he had 7 passes defended.
7 passes defended, actually. That is the cherry on the top. So, Calais, you know what a lot of people are saying out there. Oh, it's his contract year. And look at the production right there. To which you say what, Calais?
You know, give me another chance at it. I show you again.
Boy, you know, we'd love to do that, too.
You know, I love the game of football. You know, I've been honored to play it for the past 9 seasons, you know, and I feel like, you know, a big part of the game is you get a lot wiser every year. You know, you get a little smarter, you know, and you just see things a little quicker. It allows you to make plays and adjust, you know, and my body still feels pretty good, and I'm able to do some things, so it's kind of fun. I really wish I knew, you know, then when I was young and, you know, and just very, very talented, you know, I was kind of dumb still. I didn't really understand the game like I could. You know,
you don't
I was
know
a small player always, but you don't know what you don't know. And then you get to the level where you've seen it so many times before that it comes a little easier for you. And I feel like this year, man, the game really slowed down, and I saw it before it happened, and it was kind of fun.
All I know is if you get your touchdown in Spanish, then you've arrived. So if anybody asks, I want you to send them this call by the great Gabriel Trujillo on Arizona Cardinals Spanish Radio.
Segunda y las mismas 20, balón en la 40. La tiene Drew Brees. La captura, el balón suelto y el balón termina en las manos de Calais Campbell. Campbell va a regresar el balón hasta la zona prometida. El se lo lleva hasta la zona de anotación. ¡Touchdown! Arizona. Y nunca lo pensé. Calleas, 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 Calleas Campbell.
Didn't you say after the game your phone was like dead because it was going off so much with all the text messages it basically wore down the battery?
Oh, yeah. That's a true story.
You know what? If this is indeed your last show, and this is your last season as an Arizona Cardinal, anything you'd like to say to the Red Sea?
Well, I appreciate the love. You know, I understand, you know, you guys really want me back, you know, and I really want to be back. You know, it's been an unbelievable ride. The last 9 years have been amazing. You know, I'm really, I've been blessed to be able to play the game I love at a high level. You know, I've been dreaming of this moment since I was, you know, 6 years old, since I can remember, really. You know, all I want to do is play in the NFL for a great franchise. And, you know, this has really been home. And I appreciate the Bird Gang, the Red Sea, for making this home for me.
Been a great player in Wolf, a great host, right? Whether we're at the Greenbrier or in Florida, I mean, each and every week, Calais was there. He delivered. He brought the big-time guests every single week. We had the biggest Big Red Rage ever last year, like 5,000 people here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. I mean, just amazing.
Dark heart, painted face, bloody knuckles. Played the game the right way. Proud to know you.
Thank you.
God bless you, man.
Thank you.
A special thanks, Jim Almohandro makes it all happen all season long. Walt Ellis, the best engineer in the biz. Cody Fincher, the executive producer of Cardinals Football's Tim Delaney. Extra special thanks to all the folks here. Jeff Marley, Russell Youngs, Rob Harris, the entire Marley staff. Tim Hovick and the folks at Santan Ford, very well gunned. And our friends at Bud Light, the Arizona Sports Promotion Crew. How about it? How about a standing
ovation
for the big man on the Big Red Rage, Calais? What a pleasure it has been.
Honor.
All the best in the offseason.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944.
What's up,
this has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.